Welcome to the Free Art Friday Atlanta podcast, brought to you by the same dork that gives you the FAFATL.com website, Negative Neil, that's me. And you can reach me at NEGNEAL or on the Free Art Friday Atlanta.com or on the FAFATL.com. Today's episode is brought to you by cat fur and hot lava. Today we interview Christian from Clunky Robot, or Clunky Robot, and his name is Christian, however you want to phrase it. You can follow him at Clunky Robot on Twitter. He's got a Tumblr, which he discusses, a empty Etsy store, a Instagram account. I would like for you to please note in this interview that I have one of the worst laughs imaginable. And also, I cannot say the word spill. I try it 3 times in the interview, and each time I ruin it. I got to talk with Christian at the 180, the home of Clunky Robot. He has some amazing art up and some cool collections of Free Art Friday. And I'm sure that he did some trades and stuff for that. That noise you hear in the background is my dog licking his butt. Also, I had to take my daughter Fiona, also known as number two, the middle child. She is 8 years old over there. Since it is summertime, she sat on the couch and played with my phone. Got home, and she had taken 66 photos of herself. 3 of them included Christian's dog, which was cute. The rest 63 of them were just of her face. So that's what I'm dealing with. I hope you enjoy this interview. I'll be back later to just kind of reiterate what I just said. I know. It's pretty amazing. Bye. All right. So I'm here with Christian. I don't know if you want to spill your whole name.
If I'm going to spell it?
No, if you want to.
Spill it?
Spill it, yeah.
No, it's just Christian.
Yeah.
Clunky Robot.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And your Twitter name is?
Clunky Robot.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have a Tumblr account?
Yes, I'm on Tumblr and Flickr. It's all just Clunky Robot.
There you go. So you took something that nobody else had.
Yeah, I just kind of lucked into it, that name.
Yeah, where did Clunky Robot come from?
I don't know, really. I've been making little stickers with robots on them for a long time. And I just always used the Clunky Robot name. I had a website for a long time that had a weblog on it. That was just clunkyrobot.com. And that was sort of my introduction into street art, was putting out stickers. Yeah.
Alright. And then how did it go from stickers to little blue robots?
Yeah, well, the Clunky Robot character has changed over the years. He eventually became this little blue guy. But that was my introduction into Free Art Friday, was trying to find an alternative to putting out stickers. There's a really cool and great street art tradition in Atlanta. A lot of great graffiti artists, but I'm not a graffiti artist.
Right.
And that's what I think is great about Free Art Friday, is that it's like an alternative for people who don't want to get in trouble. So I was just looking for a thing I could do.
Yeah.
That was like...
So it's for people that have jobs and can't spend the night in jail.
Right. Or have a 4-year-old child that needs to eat breakfast in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The little blue guys came out just first for Free Art Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was kind of I drawn that character, but I boiled it down to that little drone, the little blocky guy.
Right. And when was that? When was the first time you went?
Probably about 2.5 years ago. It was sort of halfway through when the first year of Free Art Friday, or maybe I was at the tail end of the first year of Free Art Friday.
Yeah.
They're actually these little foam blocks that my wife bought for me from Target. She found them in the... I think I've told you this story.
Yeah.
She found them in
We'll spill it for everybody.
Okay.
Yes.
she found these little foam blocks in the dollar bin at Target, and she bought them for me, and she's like, oh, you can make something out of these. And then I just kept them in a closet for a long time. until I was just sat down one weekend and I just started cutting them up into little shapes, and then I glued them together and made these little robots.
Cool. Yeah. And then the magnets on the back.
Yeah. Well, you know, every man was really big, is really big, but his stuff was everywhere at the time. And I liked his do no harm approach.
Yeah.
Even though that wasn't always what every man did, he used to glue his stuff up. I heard Ken Tufor told me that story, that in Virginia Highlands he would see just holes in the wall that he knew somebody had pried off an every man from.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I've found an every man in a brick wall where it was.
Oh nice.
Yeah. So you just put it out, and it just kind of took off from there, right?
Yeah. Well, I found a Catlanta early on when he was putting stuff out. I found one of the little gold cats.
Right.
So that was definitely my first experience with finding free art on the streets. I think Every Man was just the street art project I'd heard about. I hadn't found one of his magnets for a while. I'd mostly just seen his stuff like glued places. But then after Catlanta, I found a zombie ATL. That was my first Free Art Friday find. I just... like through the network of Twitter, went from Catlanta to Free Art Friday.
So that's pretty much how I did it too. I went from every man to Ken to JP and just took off from there.
Yeah, well, JP is such a nice guy that you know everybody's friends with JP.
Yes, he is a nice
guy. I haven't met somebody who's not a friend with JP. I think everybody in the world is friends with him.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. I was saying when you first got here, the first time I used a scroll saw was on JP's, in his basement.
In his dungeon?
His little scroll saw.
The zombie lab?
And then he told me what he tells everybody, that he was impressed with how good I was.
He but does
that's
say
what he,
that.
That's what he says to everybody that uses his scroll saw.
I think it is whatever. Yeah. He's got a really nice scroll saw, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went from doing that, and then I'm assuming that the little foam blocks got tiresome.
Yeah, well,
over and over again.
Yeah, but I've always made art, so I always wanted to cut stuff out of wood, but I never had a scroll saw, so that was why the foam blocks were just something I could cut on with a kitchen knife.
Yeah.
But I also just have painted other stuff, so I put out just just little square pieces of wood with paintings on them before.
All right, and what I've noticed about your painting stuff is that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of little dots. And
yeah.
I think I asked you on Twitter one day, as do you have a stencil for this, or do you paint each individual?
I paint them all. I don't know. I like I like painting space. So I was just trying to find a way to paint space, but I'm also really anal about stuff. So I wanted it. There's some really awesome like splatter effects that you can do for space paintings. But I wanted it to be a very specific shape, like the shape of a galaxy or something that had this sort of mathematical shape to it. So that's why I do the dots, is so that I can give it the shape that I want. And I spend like forever painting dots.
Right.
They used to be way smaller. They've gotten way bigger. That was like one of the first. And I have a painting up that just has a ton of dots on it, and they've just gotten bigger because it takes so much time.
Yeah, and the brushes are more expensive when they're like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about a little bit about your background. I know that some people, who was it?
Brody.
Yeah, Brody.
Or is it
Who knows? Monkey Trucker.
Man, we should get that right because
he told me three times.
He's a good guy.
I haven't met anybody not friends with him either.
Yeah.
That you worked on some cartoons and stuff.
And
you're currently?
Yes. Well, I work at Floyd County Productions. It's the company that makes Archer for FX.
Right.
And before that, we worked on a show called Frisky Dingo that was on Adult Swim. And before that, we worked on a show called C-Lab 2021 that was also on Adult Swim.
Cool.
Yeah. And I just lucked into that job. My bosses, Matt and Adam, the guys that make all those shows, came to see an improv show at Dad's Garage, where I do improv, and they thought I was funny, so they had me come in and just help write, work on a script, but I actually got hired to do art for them, so I just that's how it was my day job, was like drawing for them, and then I would try to like pitch jokes to them.
Right.
And so, I've just kind of worked for those guys ever since.
That's good.
Yeah, no, it's great. They're awesome guys and great guys to work for. They really take care of their employees.
Yeah, where does that lady when it says Floyd County Productions?
On I don't know. Where is I don't that, know where that, that. I don't know where that picture came
that dirty
from.
Dirty lady.
I don't know who that lady is. Okay. I've never seen her. Maybe she doesn't work in the office.
Oh no.
I can confirm that.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
I'm sure it's maybe a friend of Adam's.
Yeah, looks like she's on a bus to somewhere.
Yeah, right. A bus to Floyd County.
Yeah.
To success.
To success, yes. And since you mentioned Dad's Garage, you do improv at Dad's Garage. And
yeah, just about every weekend I do improv there. That was just something. So that's I have this weird career trajectory that I never could have planned. It just sort of like happened to be lucky. My senior year in art school, I went to an improv show at Dad's Garage and fell in love with improv and took their class, and then they invited me to join the troupe. So I've been performing there for years. So yeah, just about every weekend at Dad's Garage, I do improv. And please come see us at Seven Stages. Dad's Garage is getting kicked out of its building.
Right.
That's happening like in the next 2 weeks. That building is going to be demolished, and just a deluge of rats will be let loose on Inman Park.
I went years ago, and it was probably about the same time you went, and it was kind of a rat infested little area.
We've done our best to, and you know, it's we seal a lot of things. You have to seal them airtight, but yeah, it's time for that building to be demolished, and something awesome will be put in there. Something way too expensive for Dad's Garage to be able to stay there. So we are going to be at Seven Stages for about a year, and then we're going to try and buy our own space. So cool. Please, if you
go to Seven Stages, spend money.
Please come see Dad's Garage at Seven Stages. We appreciate it.
Yeah, buy a lot of beer there.
Yeah, right. A lot of cheap, crappy beer. We have some good beers.
Yeah,
but I don't drink them.
No, you could get pretty wasted before you went on stage.
Yeah, there used to be a time where I had to drink two beers before I had the guts to go on stage.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I don't do that.
I would be the same way. Yeah. I'd have to drink 2 6-packs.
It's weird. I'm a really shy person, but there's something about being on stage. There's like, I don't like being the fool in any situation. Like, I'm not a clown.
Right.
But there's something about being on stage. It's agreed upon. Like, okay, I'm going to be a jackass right now, and you're allowed to laugh at me. But outside of that, I would be so super conscious of somebody watching
you. Yeah, like looking just being awkward.
And that's one of the great things about Free Art Friday too, is that you can have this venue where you don't have to be a personality if you don't want to, or you can just be a personality just through what you put out there. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, Free Art Friday has been really accepting to just all types that had come along. So that's why I started doing the podcast. I wanted more people to get involved and start doing some more art.
As it should be.
Yeah, and it looks like it's kind of taken off a little bit. We got some new people coming out.
It's great. It's kind of like improv at Dad's Garage. Like, you see generations kind of, you know, like reaching their maturity, their height of grumpiness,
right?
And then hopefully there's a new, younger, like vibrant set of artists coming in.
Yeah.
So I feel like on the short term, that happens in Free Art Friday. People get burnt out. New people come in and
and you know, if you've been doing it a while, you'll drop out for a couple of months and then come back to it.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast where you were talking about Ars Gaddis.
Ars Gaddis, yeah.
And he'll just be gone. You'll not hear from him for months, and then he'll put out something really amazing.
Yeah, I like his stuff a lot.
Yeah, he's really
good. And I got a little tiki that he made.
Oh yeah, those were nice.
Those were pretty cool.
And his stuff is just all over the place. It's great.
I know
what he's gonna do.
Yeah. I always wanted one of the angler fish that he does.
Yeah, those are really great with it. It's got like a wire with
cool. So you put up the Free Art Friday shuttle.
Yeah,
two of them. Three of them.
You mean at the and on the Beltline?
On the Beltline, yeah.
Well, yeah, there was just the one that was a shuttle,
right.
But there were a couple. I put up a couple of like installation things.
Right.
I was calling them portal stations.
Portals, there you go.
Yeah. And they would just have a magnet on them where you could put another piece of magnetized art so somebody could take it. But yeah, eventually they all got taken down by somebody. I don't know who took them. It could have been. So that's the thing. Like, you just
you took it. Put it back.
Yeah. Somebody actually gave me something that they took that I had bolted to a sign. One of the very first things I did was in Inman Park. It was this painting of a clunky robot that I bolted to a sign. And then my wife gave that person a really hard time on Twitter about it, and then they were guilted into giving it back to me.
Yes.
But that's the only time it's ever happened. Nobody's ever given anything else back.
Yes.
But yeah, I live in Reynoldstown, and we have a Beltline. And on part of the Beltline, I like to put art out on the Beltline in general, but I would bolted a thing to a sign that was supposed to be like a distribution center.
I know. I thought it was a great idea.
Thanks. And it worked really well. Like, other artists came and put stuff there. It was really interesting.
And now, and then when it got taken, someone put up
The replacement?
Yeah, the hand-drawn.
Orbital. Well, so it was like a picture. It was a painting of the shuttle, and then it said orbital.
Right.
And so, yeah, somebody hung just like the string and a little piece of paper. I forget who did it, but I'll retweet it on Twitter because it was a hilarious little
sign.
It
was pretty funny.
And that stayed up for a really long time,
did
too.
It?
It, like, threw rain, and it was all sagging.
So maybe it's the fact that it's so too nice.
Well, that one was really nice, too. It wasn't prepped for the elements.
Right. Well, it was nice, but it was also meant to be kind of just a cheapy.
It was nice. It was a nice thing for that.
And the portals you spent a lot of time on.
Yeah, they were
really cool.
Detailed,
and then the orbital came up, and the portals didn't last very long.
Yeah, they were up for a shorter time, but you never know. So that's the thing I was going to say is that you put this thing out there, and you don't know what's going to happen to
it.
So I guess the best case scenario is that somebody loved it so much that they stole it.
Right.
But the worst thing is that like a county worker was just like, oh, what's this piece of garbage?
Yeah, I gotta take this off.
But you know, any of those scenarios are possible.
Yeah, that's
you just
the thing
have
about
to, like, accept that.
Yeah, and everybody gets wants a tweet back, but rarely do they come.
Yeah, yeah. Because you just want it's just that you don't you get nothing else out of it.
Right.
You should. And a good thing to do would be to find another thing to get out of it that's not this tweet back, because that doesn't always happen.
Right.
But I think it's good to encourage that. It's the small price you pay for taking some free art. It's just let somebody know that you got it.
Yeah.
But again, there's so many reasons why you wouldn't retweet.
Yeah, there might just not be people that it might be on Twitter.
Exactly.
They forgot it.
See, you automatically go to a positive, but I know that's not your instinct. Your instinct is to go as the worst case scenario.
They don't want to tweet it back because they are a hoarder.
They're embarrassed by how many
pieces
that. So that's a possibility.
That is a possibility.
That's the worst possibility.
Yeah. So you are a proponent of the one and done.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know. It comes down to, what do you do with them, I think? If you have a ton of one thing, do you display all of them?
Right.
Or are they just, like, kind of hidden away somewhere? I think if you have too many to appreciate, then that's not cool. So just, take your fair share.
Yeah.
I have tons of rules, but they're all like internal rules, and I don't understand when other people don't get them.
Right.
Like, why don't you? That's just like that's
rule.
A law of the universe. Why don't you understand that?
Yeah. Speaking of that, I guess was it Moose?
Wesley
Moose. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really great.
Yeah, he is really
great. Super nice guy.
And he needs to be on the podcast. We're working that out. But
yeah, he's made some really high quality stuff lately. Just
it's really cool.
Simple wooden things.
Yeah, with nice wood.
Yeah, it's really great.
Well, he was asking you about one of the space cats that you have done. And where did it fall in the clunky universe?
Oh,
so my mind just went, like, everything you've done and put out, is it in the same universe?
Yeah,
and where does Accordion Cat fall in?
Accordion Cat, that's a weird spin-off universe. He's in there somewhere. I think it all fits into some story.
This is what you're thinking when you're painting the dots.
Yes, it's the thing that occupies my mind.
Yeah,
but that's everything is just an excuse to occupy my mind.
Right.
But the cat, these little robot cats.
Right.
That he's talking about. They're we were saying that they're chaotic neutral, right?
Okay.
If you put it on the D&D scale,
right.
It would be
right in the middle.
Yeah. Well, chaotic neutral it's not true neutral.
Right.
It's a more unpredictable kind of neutrality.
If he had a choice between causing mayhem and not causing mayhem. But he had to make the choice, it would be.
Yeah, I think it would just be like, is it beneficial for that person?
Right.
And then they'll do it.
Right, I got you.
They're like opportunists.
Right.
It's chaotic neutral.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't want to get called out on my knowledge of D&D alignments.
No, I haven't done it since I was 13, so.
Well, I did it later than that, but I don't do that anymore.
No.
I don't play D&D anymore.
It's not good for the soul.
We play this board game, though, called Zombicide.
Yeah.
That is, what I love about it is that it's like a D&D compressed down into a night. So it's like a big game. You play it on a tabletop, and there are little figures, and it's about just zombies and survivors trying to fight their way through the zombies. And my friend Casey, who I work with and went to art school with, he painstakingly painted all of the miniatures.
Yeah.
So they're just super detailed. It's awesome.
That's cool. And there's no leveling up.
You do. You as you kill zombies, your character gets more abilities. They get stronger as they go on. So you just like you, and we like to pretend we're the character. We roleplay a little bit. I play there, and they're all based on like pop culture icons. I play the Bruce Willis Die Hard character.
Oh, okay. Does he have shoes?
No, he does. So the sculpts have to be a little different. But if it was up to me, I would scrape off the shoes and like sculpt little bare feet on him. But I'm not that skilled
at the miniatures. With a Zippo and the whole thing. Yeah. The miniatures, I don't get that. That's I gave you one of the possums cutting it so small.
Yeah.
You're saying that the dots is what occupies your time, but cut in the scroll saw, cutting those little bitty tails out is what.
I love your small stuff, and we've talked about the small stuff before. Is that it? I feel like it's more awesome when it's smaller, but it's so much harder. And I don't think people, I don't know if it just goes through people's minds that it's harder to when it's smaller.
Yeah.
Especially like when you get into like selling stuff or giving it value.
Right.
The small stuff is way harder, but nobody's going to pay more for it.
Right.
I feel like that translates even to free art. So like the small stuff, I don't know. It's just so much cooler, but it's way harder.
Yeah, and the reason I started making them really small is A, money.
Yeah, you can get more out of your piece of wood.
Yeah, and then B, it's a lot better. You can hide them.
Yeah,
and then it takes a little bit more effort to.
Okay, yeah,
to
it's a little sneakier.
Yeah,
that's good. But I don't find it fun to make tedious little cuts on the scroll saw.
But you can make little dots, but not the cuts.
Yeah, well, I use my scroll saw on the back porch, and it's so hot out there. It gets so hot.
Mosquitoes.
So there's a couple of months where it's fun to use the scroll saw. I wish I had. We don't have a lot of property.
Right.
Our lot is kind of small here in Reynoldstown.
Yeah.
So I wish I had like a workshop. That would be like my dream.
Yeah.
But that would take up our entire backyard.
Well, you could have a dungeon.
Yeah, I should start digging.
Mine is a dungeon.
Okay.
And since the rain, it's all flooded now.
Of course.
Spiders.
You're like a moonshiner.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. So that's why there's no scroll saw stuff going out now.
Yeah.
Just wait for that to evaporate and go away.
Right. Yeah, there's a whole crawl space that's unexploited that I should be digging out creepily under my house.
Yeah. That's odd. You talked about selling some of your art. I heard you once. You said that Free Art Friday is to get them on the hook, and then and once they're on the hook, you go with the
big piece. That sounds like such a cynical thing to say. I listened to the podcast where you attributed that to me, and I was a little embarrassed.
Yeah,
but no, I guess like if you want to sell art as an artist, that Free Art Friday is a great venue for that. You put out your art. And you say, here's a sampling of what I do. And then if you want something that's like a little more refined, then here's some stuff that you can buy. And I think Ken24 is probably the best at that.
Right.
You get a Ken24 piece and you just see how great it is.
The
and you're
detail,
like, I want to support this artist in some way. So I feel like that's probably the more positive spin on it.
Yeah.
Is that like you're giving your art out there and you're saying, hey, if you like this, find a venue to throw some money my way.
Right.
I think that's probably the better attitude than this like... I'm a fisherman,
and I'm like
trying
to
get the... Okay.
I like the on-the-hook bit.
Yeah.
So, and where do you sell it on Etsy, or...
I have a small Etsy shop, but there's nothing in it right now. But I've been selling stuff through Woodwork.
Right.
And Ryan Melick.
Right.
Mayan Relic, at Mayan Relic. Right. It runs Woodwork.
And I put... his ad on the
I saw that page. Thank you. So I have a few things on there, or I may not write at this moment, but we've been doing woodwork booths at a couple of festivals. We did one, and we have another one coming up in a month or so.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna have some stuff there. We're actually just talking about it on via email today. But every man sells at that booth too. I forget his handle. Matt.
Oh, it's Run Amok.
Yes, Run Amok. He makes some really awesome stuff that sells at the woodwork booth as well.
Yeah, he does.
At least I remembered his real name.
Yes.
And I blanked on his internet handle.
See, I get the other way around all the time.
Yeah, that's the jerkier way to go.
Yeah, thanks.
Who are you again?
What is your name? And listen, if you meet a Free Art Friday person and you don't know their name, just throw out Chris.
Yeah, that covers.
And it usually covers 90%
a lot
of
bases. So my name is Christian, and as a kid I was called Chris, and there were always like six Chris's in every class, and on top of it, so I had a super complex about my name. And on top of it, my name is Christian, but at least one teacher every year would call out Christine.
Oh yeah,
and I just have to listen for my last name, and I would like just wait for it every year.
Yeah.
So that's part of my crippling self-doubt. Self-doubt. That's what helped build that.
Yeah, mine was Wilkie's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like that's not even a name.
Yeah, well, come on,
put some effort into it. Okay, so and then you sold some at the Wheelbarrow Festival. You're going to do that again?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it this year. It was really hard. And I'm not good at it. It was my very first time doing a festival by myself. So I'm not really good at it, and I just see the people that go that just have like a really great setup and they're really good at it and efficient at it. And I think that's what you have to do to really be successful.
Present your work.
Yeah, it's part is presentation, part is like how easily your stuff gets carted around, how you display it, what it is, what market you're appealing to. You really have to put a lot of time into that.
Yeah.
And I think for me, if somebody wants something of my thing, they're going to hopefully seek it out because I'm not just a browsing through the festival kind of artist. I don't think that's my audience.
Really. Right. I got you. And that's why we're going with woodwork.
Yeah.
It's because it's a collaboration of a bunch of people.
Yeah. And if you, and we'll put that link out there, and if you want it, you'll find your way there.
Right. Right. Cool.
Yeah. I have this. I love it when things are organic.
Yeah.
Which really just translates into not putting effort into it. Like it's just gonna, if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen.
I've got followers organically.
So, yeah. Well, that just means that you didn't try.
Didn't really do anything with it. You just put it in the dirt and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody will find that dirt, and then they'll dig up that thing,
yeah,
and they'll give you money for it.
Hopefully,
that's how the economy works.
Yeah, that's how the new economy. Anything else you got coming up?
I don't know.
There's
the woodwork show.
Right.
I'm working on some collaborations. Doing one with Rocket ATL.
Yeah.
We're gonna work on something. He makes really cool little stylized, simple rockets. So,
like the Converse logo.
Yeah, well, he's doing that design logo, but then he's got this cool little rocket. So I don't know what we're gonna do yet, but I think the idea that hopefully he doesn't care. I don't know if he cares.
I'll ask him and then I edit it out if he does.
Okay, I think we're gonna do like a mission patch, NASA style mission patch for some like imaginary mission.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's going to be exactly.
That's pretty cool. I saw Signal Noise. You know who he is?
Yeah.
He's a Canadian guy.
Okay.
And he does a lot of like 80s inspired posters of movies these days.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's always wanted to work for NASA, and this is part of his spiel. And he's Canadian.
Uh-huh.
So the Canadians.
So he could never work for NASA.
No, never.
That's not allowed by
federal
law. Yeah. You can't be Canadian.
But the Canadian space. Whatever it's called.
Club?
Called him.
Canadian
he
Space
did,
Club.
He did some patches.
Oh, yeah,
for
nice.
One of their.
All right, so they're like, you can't, like, NASA won't.
Yeah, but the guy went up in the NASA rocket.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Well, that's pretty cool.
As long as Canada pays, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to go to space. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. How about the dreadnoughts? Where do they come from? Where are they in the universe?
Okay. Well, they're deadnoughts.
Deadnoughts.
But whatever.
Whatever.
It's not the
Don't
most
judge
original.
Me.
It's not the most original name. So, nor is the image. It's just a skeleton in like a spacesuit.
Yep.
And that's I don't know if we talked about that. Have you seen the movie Enemy Mine?
Yes.
It's with Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
And
Lou Gossett Jr. plays the alien.
Right. And Dennis Quaid plays a space dude.
A wrecked space astronaut.
Yeah, right. So they wreck on the same planet, and then but they're warring races, and they have to become friends to survive. But in the opening, it's like zooming through space in the opening credits, and it goes past this astronaut. He's like in a NASA-style spacesuit, and you get really close, and you see it's a skeletal face. And that image, I remember seeing that as a kid, and it's just always stuck with me.
Yeah.
But Man or Astro Man has a famous poster with that on it. It's been used a lot, and I think even the cover to Why the Last Man has a really great version of it too.
I like yours because there it's just that the wispy kind of ghost,
right? So
skeleton.
It's like a suit, but then there's a skull, and the insides of it's all just like I don't know, like Ghostbuster stuff. Like
what I imagine is that these things are out to get the robot.
Okay, yeah. So where they fit into the spectrum is that they're from the fifth dimension, which is the dead. Everything's dead in the fifth dimension. So they're undead astronauts from the fifth dimension coming through portals to our dimension.
Okay.
And then there's a bunch of other dimensions that we don't need to get into.
The fourth dimension space is time, right?
No, we're talking about spatial dimensions. So right. You're making a classic mistake, okay. Which is confusing time, which is sometimes called the fourth dimension,
right.
Just as a way to measure it. But these are spatial dimensions. So a good way to think about it is the tesseract, right? Have you heard about the tesseract?
I know the tesseract.
All right, it's my favorite theoretical mathematical object. It's where you take points. So one dimension is just a line, right? That's one dimension. Then two dimensions.
X and Y.
Right. You expand it into a square, right? And then three dimensions is expanding the square
X, Y, Z.
Into a cube.
Right.
And then how do you expand it into the fourth dimension? Well, you take that cube and you turn it at right angles to itself, making the theoretical object the tesseract, right? And in the fourth dimension, the tesseract is mathematically perfect. But here in the third dimension, we can only see a shadow of what it would look like.
Okay.
So yes.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I just thought that Loki was after it.
Avengers had me, Marvel had me from the mention of Tesseract. I'm on board. Whatever it means, I'm with you. As long as you call it a Tesseract.
Okay, so outside of Clunky, what is your favorite robot in
Of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so hard.
I think we talked about Black Hole.
Maximilian
was creepy.
I had a friend who had a very detailed model that his dad had built for him of the Maximilian. I remember it being a toy, but I think that's because I always wanted to play with it. But it was just awesome and scared me. I was so afraid of that robot. That robot was so scary. R2-D2 is a famous, awesome... He plays the kind of robot I like is like the helpful sidekick robot. I think a great movie that does it is... Have you seen Moon?
No, I haven't.
It's an awesome movie. Kevin Spacey plays the voice of the computer Gertie that is in the moon base and helps him out. That's a great robot.
So he's the direct opposite of Hal.
Yes, and it's great because it's Kevin Spacey delivery the whole time, but he's super helpful. And I don't want to give too much away, but he even there's a part where you think he's going to be bad, but he still helps, and you're like, yeah, thank you for not making him an evil
total
twist.
Evil ass.
Yeah, no, he's a good robot.
And Prometheus,
I love Prometheus.
Yes, we share a deep love for this.
I think I love it so much because I saw it in the movie theater in IMAX 3D, so it was just this. Visually just immersive, awesome experience.
Right.
I think if I saw it like on TV or on DVD, I'd be like, it doesn't make sense. It's so simple. And it'd be easier to pick apart. But when you're like inside that movie, it's awesome.
What draws me to it is I always enjoyed everything outside of the alien universe. Like when the space marines are going to the planet and all those ships and all of that all of that was fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
The alien part was just secondary. So that's what Prometheus is.
It was in the same style, right? Yeah, it's just like these badass space marines who stumble onto some aliens,
right?
Yeah, and this is the other side of that. I think that's great.
Just all of those, like the door opening and that stuff just blows my mind.
Well, when I was a kid, so we were really into H.R. Geiger when we were teenagers, who did all the design work for the Alien movies. So anytime when they expand on that, I think that's really interesting too. That stuff is just amazing. And that giant that they find in Aliens, that ends up being one of the architects in Prometheus. I remember that image just being super awesome and just crazy as a kid seeing that. It blew my mind that there were these giant aliens. Then to see what their whole thing was, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's cool. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Anything else?
No. Check out all the new artists that are participating in Free Art Friday. There's new ones all the time.
Yep. Follow them on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't do a good enough job of retweeting their stuff, but there's some really awesome artists out there.
Yeah, and people are getting better all the time.
Yeah, I like it. I like seeing how people's style progresses.
Yeah, I mean, it started with Catlana. You know, he was cardboard, and then it's getting better and better.
Yeah, we commissioned a Catlana for our wedding.
Yeah. I have a sticker of that.
Oh,
I found one day at church.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, all right. Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I think that y'all all heard the awkward battle happening there. I believe that this dog, I swear, Christian won that battle, but there will be more. I would like for everyone that just finished this and has gotten to this point to stop what they're doing right now, go to iTunes, and give us a rating or a review. And you can also go to the FAFATL.com website and leave a comment and tell me who you would like me to interview. I've got a couple more lined up. So I hope y'all are enjoying these. If you're not, stop listening. If you are, please tell me, whatever. I hope y'all have a good weekend. Bye.